Well, we certainly thank the Lord today for His salvation and the gift that He gave us through Himself and through the plan of salvation. This morning I want to bring some thoughts that you've already heard some of them before. So as we bring this message, if you feel like it's kind of a deja vu, well, if you were here Sunday night, it probably is a deja vu. But I would like to maybe, with the help of the Lord, continue on with some of those thoughts. One of the most important things we as humans can have and enjoy and certainly need is the fact that we are needed. When someone comes to a realization that they're needed, it begins to add value, it begins to add worth, and it begins to add purpose to one's life. If we feel unneeded, hence unwanted, then we become detached and we become sometimes despondent, we become discouraged, and we become susceptible then to the subtleties and the subtleness of things that are against us or not in our good best interest. Satan likes to take advantage of us. And I'm thinking this morning that one of the great blessings of life is for you and me to realize that in life, in our families, in society, and in the church, and in the eyes of the Lord, we're needed. And I want to continue on with some of the thoughts. And in doing so, I want to rehearse a little bit, if you'll bear with me. We don't necessarily think of the Lord of having any needs. But if you will observe in the Scriptures and in the New Testament, often, many times, Christ used the vehicle of man. And He used physical things. And He did not come and establish Himself a few thousand feet over the earth and the air and began to lead and guide us from there. But He came down and in the fashion of a man, and He humbled Himself as a man, and He had needs of a man. And He reached out to the community and to the disciples and the people around Him. He was thirsty. He was hungry. Jesus Christ had a mission. Jesus Christ had a burden. And He did, in truth, He did shoulder it, but in another truth, He shares that responsibility with you and with me, with His disciples and with His church. The Lord, in His grandness and greatness, did not truly need Peter, James, and John to go there and watch and pray with Him. But in Himself, in His humanity, and as a lesson to us, He needed them to be there with Him. He needed their consolation. He needed that reassurance. He needed that knowledge that they felt a constraint to go with Him as far as they could possibly go. So today, I want to continue on with the thought that you and I are called to meet Christ's needs. The church is the body of Christ. The redeemed of the Lord have been commissioned to go into all the world. We are called to live the life of Christ wherever we are and fill the capacities that He would so design. You and me are commanded to do good. We are commanded to take this word through our life, through our witness, and through the behavior and the conduct of our life. We're called to be men at home and women at home. We're called to fill the positions of fathers and mothers. We're called to fill positions in society, at jobs, schools. We're called to be witnesses for God everywhere we go and to love Him and His cause more than any other thing. Lovest thou me more than these? It's still a question that rings out through the ages of time. And it behooves every one of us to look in our hearts and see truly where are our affections. Are they centered on Christ and His cause? Are they centered on doing His will and a great love that just constrains us to Him? Or is our love set on things of this temporal and so quickly over with life? Does our love go above and beyond the human appetites and the things that maybe we see? In Matthew 21:1-6, the Lord was going into Jerusalem, and of all things, He needed a donkey. Isn't that amazing? The Lord needed a donkey. He created the donkey, but He needed a donkey. Isn't that amazing? The Lord of heaven needing a donkey in her coat. It was prophesied that Jerusalem's king would come riding on a donkey, foal of an ass. The Lord needed that every scripture. We heard this morning in Sunday school class the importance of the prophecies. So the Lord needed a donkey. Well, the Lord could have created a donkey. A whole herd of them. But He didn't do that. Sent some men into the town and He said, go tell them I need the donkey. And in the third verse He said, and if any man, this is 21:3, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of him. Lord, help us this morning to hear the voice of the Lord say it. The Lord has need of us. There's a place for us in His plan. There's a place for us in our family that God has set aside for us. There's a place that God has need of us in this world as we go through the commerce of life. There's a need the Lord has set aside for you and me as we meet together as a congregation. There are places the Lord radically could fulfill if He so chose. But He rather chose to use the means of you and me. The Lord this morning has need of us. God has desires that He wants to see accomplished. And again, the Lord wants you and me to meet those desires. Lord, help us this morning to think about this. We also read in Matthew 9:36-38, where the Lord saw a great multitude of people, and they followed Him, and they had various needs, and He said to them, He saw them and He was moved with compassion. And He said something to His disciples like this. He said, oh look, the fields are white to harvest. He said the harvest truly is plenteous. Sometimes people fail to act because they don't know what to do or they don't see. Lord, would You open our eyes today to see what Your needs are? Lord, would You help us live so close to You that we would realize what I could do for You? Father, You said, Jesus, You said, if I as much as give a drink and a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, I'll not lose my reward. Sometimes we think doing for the Lord is outstanding, is going to be seen, or requires a lot of something that we don't think we have. But the Lord spoke to us and He said, a cup of cold water. You know, a cup of cold water to a thirsty man is very important. Did you know there was a man named Esau and he was hungry? Now, he was an heir of a lot of property and a lot of things. But the man felt like he was famished and was going to die. And that meal, that one little mess of pottage became life to him. Did you know sometimes that drink, that cup of cool water, in the name of a disciple, can mean the difference between life and death? The Lord has need of us. The Lord has need of you and me and our vessel, our heart and our mind. He has need of you and me going to the well of life and just taking a drink of water and transporting that to someone that's thirsty, hungry, someone who has a physical, financial, emotional. Someone who is, like we heard today, in a marriage turmoil. The world needs a cup of cold water. Lord, help us to recognize the Lord has a need of my cup of cold water. Sometimes when we think about, he said, pray that the Lord would send out laborers, there's a security in praying for the Lord to send other people. Lord, help us today. Lord, here I am. Send me. Get out from behind the veil of security that we have said, well, I'm praying that the Lord will really send forth people and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Let me see, Lord, your need. Let me feel your need. Let me be touched with the compassion that you're touched with. And Father, help me not to draw back because of my perceived inadequacies. We want to touch on that later. We talked about the church is made up of volunteers, and that's so. Called of the Lord, responded of God, to God, and called of God. And the treasure, the Bible teaches that we need to be real careful of filthy lucre of money. And not to set it as the love and the desire of our hearts. I want to caution us here today, and myself is right here with us. Yes, a certain amount of funding is needed. Amen. But let's not set our hearts on ambitions at the expense of what the Lord needs. You know, I have been guilty of this. I'll be quite frank with you, I rarely use it, but I have. But I finally got to the place I corrected myself. Do you know, as people, we can let the priority be on the thought, I need, my son, my daughter, my children, my family, need, when basically the thought is, I won't. And I have done my best to correct my terminology and come up with the thought, well, I would like, or I won't. Needs are something that are vital. Needs are something that without them, the consequences are very serious. Here, a few weeks ago, just recently, I was put something in the microwave and it came out the same temperature it went in. So I thought, well, what did I do wrong? Because it fan ran, table turned. So I tried it again and still the same outcome. Karen said, well, you know, it did me that way the other day. So I played with it there and tried different things for a day or two. You know, it would have been so easy to say, I need a new microwave. Now, the bottom line, I did go buy a new microwave. But the point is, it's not something that's so vital to life, is it? So vital that we can't live without it. The Lord has need. And those needs cry out. And the Lord said to us this way, pray the Lord will send laborers into the field. Let you and me pray, Lord, send me. Here I am. I can do something, Lord. Have a hunger in us, a thirst in us. Those people that are called volunteers in the army of the Lord, men and women whose desires are for the promotion of God, in Christ, in fulfilling His needs in this world. Their treasures have already been set aside, and they're put in heaven. They put their treasures there because that's where their heart is. They want to go to heaven, and they are so firmly convinced that God has done so much for us that whatever His needs are pale compared to the need and the crying need of my soul. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us, compels us, draws us, woos us. It is so overwhelming. It is the magnet that this piece of metal cannot help but recognize and unable to deny. May we today be filled with the love of Christ. That we recognize, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, that we should not henceforth, as the love of Christ constrains us, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves or themselves, but unto Him who died for them. That should be our desire today, to fulfill the needs of Christ in this world, in this congregation, in your home. Speaking with someone the other day, that they do a tremendous lot with their children, their son. God has called us to fulfill the needs of our children, and let's commend that. God's love constrains us to fulfill our children's need of the truth, of guidance, and of good examples. This is not just a thought of the Lord's needs right here, particular in this congregation. Although I will confess that is part of the burden. But it is you and me recognizing our role in fulfilling Christ's purpose in life, period, wherever it may be. Paul wrote to you and me, he said, quit ye like men, be strong. Conduct ourselves as men called with a purpose, a vision, a sight, a hunger, a thirst, a love. Something so aggressive in us that it overwhelms that laziness and complacency of the flesh. In Ephesians 4:14-16, he talks about every joint supplying. Well, it's rather obvious if we were to have an event of some kind and every joint was, or everyone was assigned a certain thing, whatever. Building construction, a dinner perhaps, just whatever the event may be. And everyone was assigned a particular responsibility. Well, it's only reasonable and quite easy to understand that if one person said, well, I can't make it right at the last moment, or for whatever reason failed to take care of that particular portion of the event, that there would be a lack there. There'd be a need there. We're everyone to be suppliers in the kingdom of God. On the level God called us, constrained by His love, recognizing the Lord hath need of me, and am I responding to that need, or am I looking to my needs, my life and my frailty or my insecurity before I am looking at the Christ and His needs? We read in 2 Timothy, and I want to begin again here. It's in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. There's an answer to things. The world's full of questions. Life itself has a lot of them. But I want to tell you something. In Christ, there's an answer. James said it this way, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Don't be afraid of the answer. Ask God what the answer is. You know there's questions in our lives. We know that you and me can look around in society and see needs. We're not oblivious to the needs of this world. And we look at our children and look at our companion and we see needs. We look at a congregation and we're not so blind as we can't say there's needs. We see those. Don't be afraid this morning to ask God what the answer is. Don't be afraid that God may say to you, well, the answer includes you. It includes you fulfilling this scripture that we're going to read this morning. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Lord, help us this morning. This love that constrains us. This that God has done for us and gave Himself that we might live for Him. May this love so prompt us to want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel that the Lord can himself say, well done. May the Lord encourage us and inspire us this morning to have a great desire from within to be one of those vessels of honor. Not so much honored of men and recognized of men. That can happen and it cannot happen. And you and me know, we've seen enough to know that's rather fickle and it's coming and going. But you and me want our treasures in heaven. You and me want our honor to be of the Lord. So the Lord said if we want to be a vessel of honor, we need to be willing to purge ourselves and divest ourselves. We need to allow Him, as He talked about in St. John, to purge us, prune us. We need Him to work with us. We need Him to say, this is the way, walk you in it. He said to us here today, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. And this word is not only holy, but it also means to be set aside, set apart for, and meet, proper, good for, appropriate, for the Master's use. O Lord, today, be challenged, every one of us, to want to be meet, good, appropriate. I'm going to insert the word available for the Master's use. That when needs arise, He can say, come, pray with me. Come, extend your hand with a cup of cold water. Come, fulfill my need in earth today. Thy will be done. Right here in this earthen temple and in the earth today. That the Lord will see that you and me have done those things that are proper and the things that were little, so-called. We were faithful in that. So the Lord can say, come, I have need of thee. That we'd be meet, set apart, sanctified, and prepared for every good work. This morning, don't hide under the umbrella of I just can't do it, I'm not prepared. May the Lord challenge us. Get prepared. Be prepared. Stay prepared. Want to be prepared. Don't have a desire to come up short, but recognize this constraint of love that I feel within me compels me. I want to be ready. Wouldn't you think it would be an honor to own the donkeys that Jesus rode in them? Sure it would. Why? In today's society, and maybe then, especially under Catholicism, they had to put a shrine around those donkeys. You know, they shrine where he was buried, supposedly. On a hill far away, you know, they tomb of the sepulcher and the church of the sepulcher and these type of things. Why, if probably they'd have known what was going on, they'd have put a big red bow around those donkeys' necks later on and said, this is the donkey. Don't you think that man would have been honored to know that his donkeys were chosen for Jesus to ride into the city on? Count it an honor to be used of God. Not to vaunt up oneself. We don't do that, God forbid. Why, I'm the one that gave the cup of cold water. No, that's not what we're talking about. But count it an honor in your heart and in your relationship with the Lord for Him to say, Stan, I have need of you. Me? Stan, I have need of you. There's a lady over here. There's a person over here. There's a need right here. There's someone that needs a helping hand financially, emotionally, spiritually. There's someone, your wife, you've got a responsibility to her. Fulfill it. Stan, I have need of you here. Husbands, same way. Wives, same way. Children, I have need of you. Lord, help us to be honored that God would say, I need you. Be compelled by the love that translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. Be so compelled by that love that, prepare ourselves. None of us came here scholars. Some of us advanced, some of you advanced to the realm of scholars perhaps. But we got there by a simple thing called study, work, preparation, applying ourselves, giving ourselves, and dedicating ourselves. There's a word that you hear from time to time. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And that word is called attrition. Attrition. And it has various meanings, but the way you and me hear it used predominantly today, it means a gradual, natural reduction in membership of personnel as through retirement, resignation, and death. If someone that was in the Guthrie congregation, say the time of Brother Pruitt, Brother Fred Pruitt, and if that person moved away for however many years that's been, in their mind, they would always see Guthrie from that standpoint. But did you know if they came back for a visit, they'd probably be on up there, 80s. And they would look out across us. They wouldn't know hardly any of us. The people that they once knew that were here, they're dead. They've moved. They resigned. Who teaches Sunday school class, so-and-so? Brother so-and-so. I don't know him. Well, where did Brother so-and-so go? He used to teach that class. Yes, he did, but unfortunately, about 15 years ago, he had a heart attack and he died. Attrition. Society, a congregation, a government, a business is on the move. It's constantly evolving, and I don't mean that in an ungodly way. It's constantly changing. Changing of the guard. Changing of the personnel. Lord, help us today that we not let attrition catch up with us and find us behind the time and not assuming our responsibilities. Faces change. People wear out. People move. Burdens are lifted. Age creeps up on us all. Sometimes it rushes up on us all. The Lord has need of us, saints. Children, the Lord has need of you. The Lord has something for you. I could call your name, but I don't want to embarrass you. But one day you're going to be where your mom and dad is. Your mom and dad's going to be older. They're going to be grandparents. The Lord has need of you. The Bible teaches us that there is a duty and a responsibility for every one of us is to prepare ourselves for the responsibility of meeting the needs of Jesus Christ in the world, in society, our families, and in the congregations. We're not exempt from it. None of us are. He said we'll all know Him from the least to the greatest. We all have talents and we've all been given gifts and abilities. But what we need is that heart-burning love of constraining us to, Lord, what do You have need of me to do? You've been so good to me. You've poured out upon me more than I could ever ask for. You've healed my body, saved my soul. You've blessed my children. Lord, You've given me more than I can eat and drink. I've got excess of food. Lord, what do You have need of me to do today? My house is comfortable. My car is air-conditioned. I've got everything I need and then some. Lord, what do You have need of? To refocus ourselves as a people. I don't mean to put any of us down. Maybe I should say, Lord, help us to check our focus as a people. That would be better, more appropriate. That we're focused on meeting the Lord's needs in our life. I want to go to 1 Peter a moment. First Peter 1 and 17. Start at 16. 1 Peter 1:16. But it is because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for of your vain conversations received from the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Lord, help us today. Have you ever thought about temporary residence? Hebrew writer said, "Here we seek no continuing city." I don't know where time is in your life, and I don't know how minds are altogether, but somewhere or another, mortality, we become aware of mortality. That can be a time of regrets, if you think about it. I wish I could have, I should have done more. Father, forgive me as I approach the autumn of my life and go to my long home for wasted years. This life is so quickly over, it's unreal, isn't it? May the Lord encourage us today that we pass this sojourn, this transitory time, that we do it with a great fear, respect, and awe, and a true reverence, and the Bible and the dictionary says, veneration of God. That we focus ourselves on Him who died for us, with great respect for the price that was paid for us. That we recognize that we were not purchased except by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that scripture that rings in my heart the last two Sundays, the love of Christ constraineth us. That love that He loved we with is so compelling. What are your needs, Lord? What would you have me do, Lord? Where's the place that I can feel? Oh, help me, Lord, to know your will and have a zeal to finish it and to furnish it, rather. So the Lord called us and wants us in this little transitory space of thing called time. You know, we can kind of narrow that 70 to 80 years down, can't we? There are years in infancy and childhood that I'm not going to say they're not productive. I wouldn't be that bold, but they're severely limited. There are times that we spend, perhaps, in our nursing home years. That's not always true. I realize that. But our abilities are hindered. You take those, the beginnings and the ends of our life away, and it narrows down that time that God says, "I have a need of you. I have a place that you could fill." And I'm pleased, don't take me that I'm taken away from the elderly, God forbid, or I'm taken away from the youth. I'm not, God forbid, there. And it really starts in our youth. But I'm showing us that this sojourn is limited by a lot of events. And if I wait for everything to be where I want them to be, it may be too late. Because I think as long as we have a right mind, we're going to have a want. Okay? As long as we're here, there's going to be something we would like. And temper them by the Spirit, and temper them with the need of the Lord, and let His needs come before our wants. In 2 Timothy, scripture that is, I think, vital to us as people, 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my son, Paul speaking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Do you see the taking care of attrition? The natural progression of the changing of the guard, the natural progression of the changing of the faces. You, me, committed to faithful men who will raise up the banner and not allow the staff to go into the ground, into the dirt, but will transfer it in a timely, honorable fashion and hold up the banner of truth and right and burdens and the needs of Christ. Commit it to one who commits it to other faithful men who will indeed teach it and commit it to those who are following. Because the one who maybe picked up the banner, or how shall I say it, the one who began whatever we may say, he or she, they're limited by age as how long they can be even. People do tire out, even saints. Burdens are lifted even from God. Things do change. Growth does occur. People do go forward and onward, and in so doing, they leave a footprint that their God is saying, who'll step into that footprint? Who will meet that need? Who will shoulder that responsibility? Who will say, Lord, here I am, send me? Who is bold enough, not in their own selves, but in the love of Christ, to say, Lord, I want to do it. Teach me how. Qualify me. Prepare me. Because there's footprints, saints, that you and I have the responsibility of standing in the place of. Because they're not here anymore for various reasons. He said, and he went on, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know of anybody who preaches or teaches or exhorts that says you're desire to fulfill the needs of Christ will not at times seem like a warfare, and they will not at times be opposed. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, one of the great needs, one of the great causes that the seed did not germinate was the cares of this life. Please, and I speak to myself, be very careful with the cares of this life. They will rob you of the blessings of the eternal. They will rob you of the blessings of knowing you feel the need of Jesus Christ. They'll rob you of fulfilling the needs in your home, on your job, in the places where God has need of you, in the congregation. Please, please, I exhort us all today, be very careful of the cares of this life. Paul is saying if we really, really, truly want to serve Him, and the love of Christ is truly constraining us. He didn't say we didn't take care. Paul was a tent maker. He did not say we're going to quit making tents altogether. He said, I'm not going to be entangled, ensnared, trapped, handicapped, kept back, hamstrung. I'm not going to put myself in that place that I cannot fulfill the needs of Christ based on my priorities instead of letting the priorities of Christ come first. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I don't know of a greater responsibility than to recognize our duties to serve the Lord who has chosen us. My allegiance and yours no longer belongs to ourselves. They belong to Christ who washed us in His precious blood. This morning I pray for myself. Let's don't get our priorities mixed up, folks. A lot of people suffer because of it. Your family can suffer. This congregation can suffer. Your neighbors down the street can suffer. We don't get entangled. See, we provide for our family. Men, you're charged to do that. But don't get entangled with it. You know, having food and raiment, here's a lesson probably for every one of us. Therein be content. I stand chastened by that scripture. He went on and said it in the fifth verse, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And the husband that laboreth must be partakers, first partakers of the fruit. Seventh verse, consider what I said, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Ezekiel 22 and a 30, the Lord said, you're in trouble, Israel. You've got some problems. And my wrath is close. And he said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap to help you, to protect you from my wrath, for your good and your benefit. I look for a man to stand in the gap, he said, for the land. But he said, I found none. Quite a charge, isn't it? If we think of Jerusalem, if we think of our life, if we think of the kingdom of God as a city walled about, he speaks of those kind of things. Gaps can be very dangerous. Gaps can be very life-threatening. Gaps can cause the enemy to come in, can cause things to go out that should stay in, etc. But he said, I look for someone to stand in the gap for the land, for the land's sake. And I found none. Lord, help us today to see the land as whatever you might consider holy and righteous, whatever that may be. But you and me are called to the kingdom for a purpose and a cause. And we're to stand in the gap. Not to hide behind the shade tree of, well, I can't. I don't know how. But humble ourselves and dedicate ourselves and let God prepare us that we can do that which we ought to do. The writers of Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 spoke about there was a time when they should have been teachers. But they came short of that. And he said something in the, I believe it's the 14th verse, 5 and 14 of Hebrews, that I think is a very good lesson for us, and I'd like to consider that briefly. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. None of us came into this world being able to read and write. None of us came with the vocational skills that you have today. How did we gain them? We learned them, did we not? And how do we learn them? One way we learned them was applying ourselves, disciplining ourselves, and exercising ourselves. The preacher who preaches, he didn't come here. She didn't come here a preacher. And I feel like I still stumble enough, but I can tell you folks, you can go back and ask some other folks and they tell you the man really stumbled. The man who's the engineer or the architect or the carpenter or the computer programmer, the printer. How did he get there? How did she get there? They exercise themselves. Effort, a desire to learn, a hunger for knowledge, applying themselves. And then they were able to bear the title of engineer, carpenter, cabinet maker, mechanic, whatever. I'm saying to us today, if you feel you're not able, tell God that. And then tell the Lord, but Lord, I want to. I want to fulfill your need, whatever, wherever, and however. I don't feel wise enough. I don't feel experienced enough. But Lord, give me that experience. Give me that wisdom. Give me that understanding. First Timothy 4 and 8. We're just, bear with us here. You may not feel today proficient. That's not a good place to stay, and it's not a good place to hide behind. Because we can learn. And we can humble. And we can be obedient. And we can be constrained by the love of Christ that compels us. I just got to learn this. I want to learn how to serve my Jesus. In 1 Timothy, if you'll let me read that, we'll try to wind this down. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Bodily exercises profiteth little. We get things flip-flop, do we not? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is in the life that is to come. A twofold blessing. A twofold purpose. Exercising ourselves unto godliness profits us here today. And those that hear us here today. But it also profits us in the world to come. In the life which is to come. He said in the 13th verse, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. This morning, God help us not to neglect the gift of God. Every one of us that's saved are potentials in that place. Potentials to have a gift, a burden, a cup of cold water that the Lord wants us to distribute. A place that only you can adequately perform. The Lord didn't want a horse. He didn't want an ostrich. He didn't want a chariot. He wanted a donkey. The Lord had need of a donkey. The Lord had need of you and me. May the Lord help us today to then neglect not that. All kind of excuses. My donkey's just got through carrying a heavy load. My donkey's this. My burro is just, oh, I hadn't curried it in a week. Hair's got some cockle burrs in it. Now, the Lord said, He told us, He said He had need of that one. Then take it. Lord, help us not to question God to our own hurt, our own destruction. Then he said in the 16th verse, and he goes on to say, meditate. 15th verse, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a little message on take heed. And here Paul says it again. And I would this morning we take heed to ourselves. And that we take heed to the situations around us. Take heed to thyself. How am I adorning what God has given me? Attrition is happening every day. It'll happen till God calls us all home. The Lord has need of many cups of water being distributed. The Lord has need of you and me, wherever we might be. The Lord wants you to step into some shoes. He wants you to be that man or that woman that's prayer closet is busy. Well-worn tracks into that closet with God. He wants you, me, He wants someone to be that faithful. Too many places we could go here. And Lord, help us today to recognize the Lord has need of us. Brother Marty told us during the meeting, do you remember this, or was it the camp meeting? your turn. It's your turn. You're on deck. It's your turn to step up to the plate. Have you ever looked back in your life and said, I wish? And along with that wish comes a sigh of, I didn't do it. It's my turn and it's your turn. Young people, it's your turn. There's no need for you to graduate from high school and give up God. That does not need to happen. It's time then for you to step up and say, I'm a man, I'm a woman, and I'm going to be counted for God. You don't need to get out from under your mom or your dad's authority and say, I can do what I want. No, Lord, now I can make decisions more on my own. Lord, what do you have need of? What's important to you, Lord? God help us. It's my turn and your turn. We're up at the batter's circle, and the pitches are coming fast. We need to be prepared for the fastball, the curveball, the slider, and all these others. We need to understand life's not going to be fair to us, so we're going to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand in this evil day, that we can fulfill the place God wants us to fulfill today. Tomorrow He may move you down some. Stay right there till God says move. Lord, help us this morning. The Lord has need of you. Please don't hide. You know, Brother Marty told us in that service, he said, some people say, well, that's a good pitcher. I can't get up there against him and pitch. Bat, rather. Well, he'll throw a fastball and I won't even see it coming. I'll be struck out without ever getting the bat off my shoulder. No, we can't be afraid. It's your turn. It's not anybody else. It's your turn. It's your place. We love the Lord this morning. May the love of Christ so constrain us that, oh, Lord, what would you have me do? You have need of me, Lord. I don't feel qualified, Lord. I'm right here. I want you to teach me. You want me to do something? Well, Lord, I need to study that. Then study that. Meditate on that. Practice that. And the Lord will give the understanding. And God will bless that. And he said here to Timothy, your prophethood may be seen by all. It'll be evident. You don't have to go around boasting, I'm this, I'm that, I did this, I did that. Not that at all. The Lord will manifest himself through you in whatever capacity it is. Whatever capacity. And the people to say, that was the Lord's doings. The Lord blessed him or her. You pray for me. Meeting the needs of Jesus Christ. Let's think seriously about that. Amen.